What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel really good about all of his nominees. They're all intelligent, they're articulate, they're unflappable. As I said, they're fighters. That came out very well in the confirmation hearings. And I think most Republican senators take the attitude I do that President Trump won a convincing victory. He deserves to staff the administration with people he wants in those positions. And unless there's some disqualifying aspect of their background, our job is to make sure that we vote to confirm those people so he can really, again, swiftly and decisively act to honor the promises he made to the American public.
That's my favorite senator's name to say. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin there talking about how Donald Trump should get his nominees confirmed. And there has to be, you know, we were just discussing in the last segment how the amount of information that is flooding out towards us every day to cover. I assure you that Ryan Schmelz is on top of all of the things that are coming out of Capitol Hill, because there's quite a lot to cover as well. And he joins us now. He's Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Ryan Schmelz, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Good to have you here.
Always great to be on, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We are excited to watch all of the news in progress, but you know, it's a hurry up and wait thing, it seems like, on Capitol Hill, probably all of the time. Where are we right now with Donald Trump's cabinet nominations?
Right. So actually, Doug Collins for VA Secretary just got confirmed a few minutes ago officially. The vote took a while, but you know, it was a bipartisan vote, not exactly somebody we were expecting to have too many hurdles in getting confirmed. So that is now out of the way. We're on to Pam Bondi, likely later tonight. Expecting her to get confirmed, but it probably will be probably a little bit more on party lines than Doug Collins was. But of course, the big news today, Annie, was that you saw Robert Kennedy Jr. getting voted out of committee. We were all watching for Senator Bill Cassidy, obviously not the biggest Trump fan, somebody who supported the second impeachment of Donald Trump. He had serious concerns with Robert Kennedy Jr.'s past statements on vaccines, but ultimately he got to yes. And a lot of that was thanks to a number of concessions that he was able to get from RFK related to not changing the CDC guidance or taking any information off the CDC website that claimed that vaccines do not cause autism. They're going to be speaking every month on multiple times. And also, Cassidy is going to have input in hiring decisions made at HHS going forward. So this was a pretty good deal for Cassidy, it looks like, and one of the reasons why he got to yes on RFK Jr. But I think the big thing that we're starting to learn here, Annie, is that J.D. Vance is playing a pivotal role in getting some of these weary senators on board with President Trump's nominees, not just Cassidy, but also J.D. Vance served as kind of a liaison between Senator Todd Young and Tulsi Gabbard, who was kind of the last Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee who was weary on Gabbard's nomination. But after a number of discussions, Young was able to get enough assurances that he's going to support her nomination later when she goes before the Senate Intelligence Committee, and they vote that out of the committee later.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz, reporting from Capitol Hill, Fox News Radio's Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. How much of this negotiation involves Democrats? Because they don't need to participate to vote. They could all vote against all of the nominees, and if the Republicans are together, then they're going to get confirmed. Are Democrats playing a role? Are there any specific Democrats in the Senate who are trying to be a part of this process to be included in a possible confirmation vote?
Now, where the Democrats kind of play in here in terms of negotiating is usually with a time agreement, as in when they have the official votes on these nominees. But in terms of Democrats working to confirm some nominees alongside with Republicans, if there's any of that going on, I haven't really heard of it. Pretty much President Trump and his team are trying to wrangle the current senators that they have on the Republican side. There's 53 of them. They only need 50 of them to get anybody confirmed. So that's kind of where the negotiations are going on, is trying to work with the senators who may have issues with a nominee, whether it's Tulsi Gabbard, whether it's RFK Jr., and just trying to get them to yes. And all they have to do is get 50 of them to yes, and they're good to go.
Hey, Ryan Schmelz, this is Ryan Wiggins. Why does it take so long for once they get out of committee, once RFK, Tulsi, they get out of committee, why does it take so long to confirm them? Are Democrats holding this process up?
There's a lot of procedural hurdles that you have to go through with the Senate. There's a lot of procedural votes, like words like cloture, which I could probably put your listeners to sleep explaining. But yes, and Democrats do have the ability to block some of these nominees, delay some of these nominees, and stop some of these nominees. And John Thune has gone to the Senate floor and said, hey, if you're going to make this hard, we can do it the hard way, which is we'll just wait you out and vote, you know, eventually when our time's up. But there are some procedural hurdles when it could take up to 30 hours in between votes. And that in many ways is delaying some of these nominees. But one thing that Thune has made very clear is that they're kind of on the same pace that Barack Obama was when he first got into office and he was confirming many of his nominees. It might not be the same pace as President Biden or the first Trump administration, but he's kind of used the Obama metric to kind of pace how they're going so far.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz from Capitol Hill, and there's always plenty to cover, and I think a lot of the attention is over there on the Senate as we move through these confirmation votes. But also, I'm reading here from a Fox News report from the House of Representatives. House delays key vote on Trump budget bill after conservative fury over spending cuts, and it indicates that the House Freedom Caucus members are pushing for deeper spending cuts. What can you tell us about this the slimmest of majorities of Republicans in the House and their ability to get, you know, the impossible done here?
Well, there's going to be two key pieces of legislation that are going to happen within the next couple of, I would say, weeks, probably. Number one, you have one that has a hard deadline. That's the government funding deadline in mid-March. So there has to be some type of agreement there. Currently, negotiators, whether it's the House and Senate and leadership in both parties, are trying to work on a top line spending number. I think there's an anticipation that the Freedom Caucus is not going to like whatever that top line spending number is. So the next process is the reconciliation bill, which is the one big, beautiful bill you hear President Trump talk about. It's supposed to have a lot of his priorities like border, energy, as well as taxes. But a lot of conservative Republicans have put their foot in the ground and said, we need to have spending reforms or spending cuts that are involved here or offsets if we're going to spend more money. And it just looks like the current plan that they've been leaning towards, you know, in the last couple of days just isn't good enough for the Freedom Caucus. So they're kind of ordering them to go back to the drawing board and find a way to reduce spending. So could that be where the Department of Government Efficiency comes in and kind of the caucuses and committees that they've established this Congress? You know, we don't know that just yet, but yes, there's going to be a huge, you know, challenge here in getting everybody on board, especially when you can only afford to lose one or two votes any given vote cycle. So this is going to be a challenge for Speaker Johnson.
Ryan, do you expect that challenge back and forth to predominantly take place behind closed doors? Is it going to spill out into the public where we're going to hear, OK, this guy from the Freedom Caucus and Mike Johnson over here is a speaker? Are we going to see this fight out in the open? Are they going to keep it behind closed doors?
Well, the one thing I've learned about the House being here is that there are a lot of closed door meetings, and a lot of the dirty laundry in those closed door meetings make it out into the public. So I think they'll try to keep it behind closed doors as much as possible. But I'm sure there's going to be plenty of leaks and plenty of information that gets put out there from what happens in those meetings. But Johnson quite often brings a lot of people into his office from different caucuses of the Republican conference, and they try to have these negotiations and try to hash these things out. You know, they were successful in doing that when they negotiated the new motion to vacate threshold and also negotiated with some of the holdouts on Speaker Johnson's nomination. So it can be done, But when you're talking about a bill this size with that's this bold, it's going to be a challenge.
You kind of touched on this as well. We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz with Fox News Radio from Capitol Hill. You mentioned the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. How does the House of Representatives, under the encouragement, of course, Donald Trump and his vision for getting spending completely reined in, how does it work with this kind of new entity, this new agency that has been formed under Elon Musk? How do those two groups, the representatives that we voted for, we sent to represent us and have the say on how to vote, how do they work together or against DOGE?
Yeah. So I think we're still trying to figure that out because DOGE is not an official government agency yet. And it probably would have to be established through Congress to be official. But in many ways, it can still kind of serve, it looks like, in some type of advisory role where, you know, they make recommendations to the House and they write legislation. So what we know right now is that the DOGE caucus in the House has established these different working groups that go through each part of the federal government, and they find ways that they can either find waste or make the government more efficient. And their goal, from what I've been told, is by the end of the year, each one wants to have at least one piece of legislation that they're introducing this Congress that will address either government efficiency or government waste. So what that's going to look like, obviously, it's still too early, but could some of these bills make it into the reconciliation package? That could go a long way in satisfying the Freedom Caucus and their mission to cut spending or rein in spending. But I think it's just still, we don't know what those details are going to look like.
Well, Ryan Schmelz from Capitol Hill, we really appreciate these insights. There's so much happening, and we know that you're covering it minute by minute. So we're going to have you back again next week. Ryan, thank you for being with us today. It's great to talk to you again.
Hey, thanks, Annie. Looking forward to it again. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Ryan Schmelz is the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. We discussed the possibility of bringing him back regularly. I really like the idea of having him on. We're usually going to have him on Mondays or Tuesdays. Just kind of depends on his schedule and our schedule as it lines up. But there's a lot going to be happening with this administration, and it's nice to compare it to what we had before. Like, there's this kind of drum of you just kind of accepted malaise and this drudge of nothing happening in Capitol Hill. And if you have a Republican majority in the House and a Senate Democrat majority, of course, Biden being the president, you don't really expect a whole lot to get done. And a lot of it is just posturing. The Republicans passed HR2 and they're like, we're going to secure the border. And you're like, no, you're not. The Senate's never going to vote for that. So it just kind of comes to a standstill. There's really just nothing. That's not going to be the case. At least for 2 years, that's not going to be the case. And if you've looked at the numbers of 2026 voter support for either party, I just saw some numbers yesterday. I should pull them up and report on them specifically in this show. But overwhelmingly, people are still flocking to the Republican Party. And if in 2026, can you imagine in 2026 the potential for Donald Trump to have a stronger majority?
Man,
oh boy.
I'll believe that when I see it just based on historical trends. But man, yeah. You're right. The numbers of people registering in key states especially is overwhelmingly Republican.
Scott Pressler's going ham in New Jersey. And
yeah.
He keeps posting about the success they're having there. Pennsylvania continues to push Republican. It's not like they got to the November 2024 election and stopped. They continue on that path. This is why, you know, the people who hate the policies of Republicans, of conservatives, constitutionalists, the people who hate that idea and are steeped in far left progressivism. And I don't say that as an insult. If you're hearing that and that sounds like an insult to you, I'm just saying if somebody said that I was for far left progressive, I would feel insulted by that because I think the policies are terrible. But if you're somebody who truly, if you are a hard on your sleeve liberal and the DEI stuff is super important to you because you think that's the only way that people of different colors or walks of life or religions or whatever can be included, I would challenge that at its very, very core, that that's not actually true at all. But if you're one of those people who feels that way and you're strongly feeling about it, you're looking at what's going on right now and you feel like the world's crumbling around you. I know people like that, and I love people. There are people in my life who I love dearly who are terrified, they're horrified about what's happening in our country right now. And I'm sitting here and I feel like I feel like I know something that they don't know. And do I want to share it with them? Yes. If I shared it with them, would they hear me? No. That's why when Donald Trump is doing the things right now that he's doing, you see so many people saying, I voted for this. We have strong, deep-rooted, principled differences about what America looks like at its best. I don't think it's hard to point to the last 4 years and say, that's not the best. That's not the best we can do, not even close.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So when Donald Trump is doing these things and it's happening so very quickly, and you've got Kash Patels that are probably going to be confirmed, you've got a Pete Hegseth that was confirmed, you've got, RFK Jr., a Democrat, Tulsi Gabbard, a former Democrat representative in the House who ran for president as a Democrat and was put in the cabinet, nominated to be in the cabinet by Republican Donald Trump. And it does, none of it makes sense. A lot of these people are just going to have to wait and see. And they don't have another choice. You can publicly panic. You can flail. You can cry. I don't enjoy watching that happen with real people. If you're Joy Reid, it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. If it's The View, I'm watching.
If it's The View, I'm like, I will make this appointment television. I want to see this happen in real time. Because those people are the deceivers. Those right. people are getting rich off of deceiving real, innocent, heart-centered people who have a foundation that is different than mine and a perspective that is different than mine. And I respect the fact that we don't all come from the same place, so we see things differently. But there are deceivers out there right now who are losing their ever-loving mind. And if you're a compensated deceiver and you're melting down, that's just really funny. I'm not sad about that at all.
if you're on the left and you have, without even realizing it, made government essentially your religion. You would never put it that way, but that's what it is. This is your life philosophy being destroyed in front of your eyes. People are losing it. That's how it looks.
So when Donald Trump is doing the things he's doing at the rapid pace he's doing them, he has a finite amount of time to prove it. Mm-hmm. That's where we are. We're in the prove it time frame of this past campaign. He won. People can't believe it. So I encourage you, those relationships that you have in your life that are divided by politics, and if they look at you right now and they can't believe that you would support, you know, children being ripped from their families and sent to a foreign country that they've never lived in, I mean, that's the worst case scenario. What's happening right now is criminals are being ripped from the communities that they stole into. The details are different. I'm also saying that there are going to be people who are going to be removed from this country who are good people. But they came here for the wrong reasons. And that's just the state we're in right now because the Biden administration encouraged this chaos. Now, we can point fingers and blame and do that. I don't know at the end of that if anybody's mind is going to be changed or if anything's going to be better for it. But we have to rely on Donald Trump, if we voted for him, to do what he said that he was going to do. It's amazing to watch the people on the left right now say, like when they're watching Donald Trump do all these things, the right is saying, I voted for this. That's a if you go on X, it will not take you long to see somebody who just tweeted, I voted for this. And the people on the far left are saying to others out there, we told you this was going to happen. So did Donald Trump. And the people on the left who are trying to convince people, we said this was going to happen, we said that this is what he was going to do, have not yet figured out that other people were able to figure out for themselves with their own brain cells that Donald Trump was telling us what he was going to do. And we're like, check the Donald Trump box because of it. The American people are able to think for themselves, for in large part, make decisions for themselves, live in reality, and they voted for it. I voted for this, that's for sure. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Wiggins America, of course, the place that you go to find the signs that you're too polite.
This is inspired by Donald Trump.
Signs he's too polite?
Signs you're too polite.
All right. Are these? Where's this from? Career Addict?
This is from all over the place.
Is this just your personal opinion?
That's actually from Reader's Digest.
We'll be right back. What a man gotta do.